Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your goodness. And God, we thank today that so many people are traveling and vacations. I pray your protection on them. I pray you, many young adults are heading back off to college. And Lord, I just pray you protect them and the time that comes up for them and they could draw close to you. And so, Lord, we just thankful that we can come together and worship you, thankful that we can praise your holy name, and thankful that we can just look to you. So, Lord, I pray that you would speak to us this morning and know that you're there always, and certainly show yourself strong in our troubles, and God, that we can be encouraged, that we can set our heart upon you. Just anoint me. I just speak words of the Spirit. Open each heart to take deeply within their spirit what you have to say. So we give thanks to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We're going to be looking at 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. Should have overheads for these. Read this. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. And so we hear the title of the message, you know, is Beyond Our Strength. And it's good to, I think, to look at, you know, subjects like this, because, you know, in the Christian life, we think, okay, we trust Jesus, we love Jesus, and we're just trucking along, and everything's going to fall into place, and just rejoice in him. We have nothing to worry about. And maybe not that extreme, but somewhat closest to it. But every once in a while, we'll find out, like, we'll be in a situation, and we'll go, Lord Jesus, this is not fair. This is not right. And may even have a discussion with God, like, you're really messing up here. I mean, this is, I don't understand this. There's no good coming out of this. And so it can really be taxing on our faith, because we're like, where is God? He's not there. And so you come to just hit a brick wall. Now, I can say that like with confidence. I mean, I major in brick walls. Okay. I just one after another. But I can also know that each one of you in your life and stuff, if you just hit a brick wall and you just don't understand and it's hard and, you know, and you know the Lord saved you and you believe in the scriptures, but you're just so struggling through it and it just doesn't seem to be any understanding of what's going on. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Well, what's interesting here, here's the Apostle Paul in the same place. Now, this guy, you know, had a personal appearance of Jesus to get saved, appeared to him, spoke to him. He was taken into heaven and shown the third heaven. He said it was unbelievable. He couldn't even speak about it. And he's written over two-thirds of the New Testament. So he kind of had his act together. Amen? So, you know, he's doing what he's supposed to do. But he's the one that wrote this right here. And it's like, oh my gosh. You wouldn't believe, he's saying, you wouldn't believe some of the stuff I've been through. And he goes, I don't want you unaware. And he says, we were so utterly burdened. Look at the words, so utterly burdened beyond our strength. And so we don't want to just kind of blow that up. No, it's beyond our strength. I can't go on. I mean, it's beyond anything I've had. It's beyond our strength. And then he said that we despaired of life itself. You know what the short term for that is? It's like, I wish I was dead. That's what he said. We were burdened beyond. I just wish I was dead. It was like unbelievable what he went through. So here you have a picture of him saying this, and it happened to him. So it's also a message to us. It's like, well, God knows when these things happen to us. You know, God knows that we can relate to the Apostle Paul, what he's going through, that when we go through these difficulties and you think, there's nobody there, God's not there. Where is it? What's happening? Well, this is what he's addressing right here to tell us about that those situations come. Why? Because we live in this world. We live in this world. And you know, I'll always go back to 1 John, the first, it says, the whole world's under the control of the evil one. Well, wait a minute. No, that can't be right. No, that's what it says. The whole world's under the control of the evil one. But we are the children of God. Okay, so there's a distinction. There's a break. You know, people try to make all sorts of distinction. God makes one. Those under the world and those saved by him. It's boom, you know. And he says, so Jesus even said, you know, while in this world, you're going to suffer persecutions, okay? So bad stuff happens, but that doesn't mean that God isn't who he says he is and is not doing what he says he's doing. And we're here to be a light in this dark world. And so here's some insights for us when we have those tough times. And this is a guarantee. Every Christian will have a tough time. You're going to have a tough time, you know. And kind of, you know, I think, personally, this is just my editorial, I think Satan kind of has his crosshairs out for Christians, you know, because the people that are not Christians, he got them. He's just working them as he sees fit. But the Christians, he's going to lock in, see, which is, the Bible also says we have overcome the evil one. So he locks in us. He doesn't have power over us. And so, but you can see the dynamic of the war that's going on, the difficulties. So, back to what Paul said. He goes, oh my gosh. He says, you wouldn't believe where we were. He says, we were at our wit's end. That's what the Apostle Paul's saying. So the thing is, don't be surprised if tough stuff happens. I mean, you ought to be surprised if tough stuff doesn't happen. You know, I mean, because tough stuff's going to happen. Now, and so, in this case, you know, he uses the term, you know, brokenhearted, crushed. And, yeah, I always uses the word in the scripture like contrite. Okay, and that's good. I like the word contrite. But it means crushed. I mean, so it's really contrite. Anyway, it's crushed. So you're brokenhearted and crushed. And so what happens is Paul said here, in these times of despair, we don't have any place to go. Well, we do, because you cry out to God, because God tells us something very interesting, and he tells us that he's near the brokenhearted, and he's near the crushed. Now, you may not feel like it. He says, well, no, I'm near, but he tells us, so we know. Look, if you will, at Psalms 34, 17 through 18. Psalms 34, 17 through 18. Now, it's Old Testament, so we're going back to the Old Testament. The consistency is amazing. It says, when the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their trouble. Verse 18, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and he saves the crushed in spirit. Now, I'm going to kind of reverse that, you know. What does that mean? It means your heart was broken. Okay, engineer, you were crushed in spirit. It's near, okay? So it happens to you. It happened in this situation. And it says right there, it says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and crushed. So by definition, when you're just in this overwhelming, like, I can't go on, the truth of the word is, whether we feel like it or not, God says, I'm near. I'm there. Hang in there. I'm there. Don't give up. I'm there. That's the reason he's telling us. Now, if we felt like he's there and everything's right and we're sailing and, oh, God's good and, you know, we never have a down moment, you wouldn't need this verse. Okay? But you need this verse because humans, we go through that and it's hard. We go through hard times. He said, listen, I'm there. You have to know in faith I'm there. Don't give up even if you feel like it because I'm there and I'm doing something. Now, what we also see in here that God also does something in our difficult times. He's doing something. And maybe we don't like this, but it's really good that he does it. See, God reveals to us in these difficult times the hopelessness of human help. You know, if we really had a lot of hope in the human help, we would just, okay, we can make it, we can come. But it's like, no, there's nothing. There's no way to turn. There's no human help here. So God shows us the hopelessness of human help so that there's only one way to turn. It's him. It's kind of like all the doors around you shut and you look up It's him. All of a sudden, and all you have is just you and him right there. And God's going, that's good. We're going, I don't think that's good. But he's going, no, that's good, because now you're locked in. And I'm the one that really can do something in this, see? And so God is grieved that we're brokenhearted. He's grieving with us. You know, he's not happy about us being brokenhearted. But he knows also that our burdens move us to rely on God and God alone. I rely on God and this person. You know what that is? I don't rely on God alone. You know? And so for me to rely on God alone, you kind of got to move this person. You know? I can do it or he'll do it. Because God alone is what he wants us to look to. Now, he didn't create all these burdens. Life did. This is where we live. But he understands that those burdens will move us to rely on him and him alone. And then therefore it gives him an opportunity to move, that we know what's going on, to our benefit. Amen? See what I'm saying there? Now, and so here we go. Continued, the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, the next verse, he goes, you know, he just said, beyond our strength, that we despaired even of life itself. Then he goes on and says, indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. You know, it's like, no, we're done. You know, indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. But that was, now, but is a contrast. The word, that's a big word in there. But, okay, we received the sentence of death, but contrast. Something else happened in connection with us receiving the sentence of death. But that was to make us not to rely not on ourselves, but God who raises the dead. He had the sentence of death. Paul says he recognized what's happening. He said, where is God? God, why didn't you move sooner? Why didn't you do, what happened? What happened? Says, well, we see the sentence of death, okay? But that was to make us rely not on ourselves. Just process that. You know, I'm an independent man. You know, I'm going to make things happen. And God goes, well, Wallace, me and you need a little work. Need a little work, you know, because you can't survive in this world with all these other people that don't know me, that think they're independent people running this world, which they're not. I need some people that rely on me, and therefore I'm going to have to put you in a situation you can't handle. And then you're going to rely totally on me, and then I can do something with you. The power of God working through me. That's what it says. I mean, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves. It's like, wow. I mean, how do you function? You don't realize, how do you function? It's, you don't. You can't unless you got to replace it with something. You know, you rely on God. God, what do you want me to do? And I'm following you, and my power comes from you alone. Okay, so it makes us rely not on ourselves, but on God, who, by the way, raises the dead. I mean, if he can raise the dead, and he can take care of your problem, right? He said, I should raise the dead so I can take care of your problem. I mean, that's a powerful verse right there that explains a lot and what's happening. I can't do this, you know? God goes, it's right. You can't. That's the whole point. You can't. But there's someone who can. Who can. And you know him. You just need to turn to him. By the way, this is a verse to Christians. It's not a verse to lost people. He's taught the Christians to rely on God. You have to learn to more rely on God and not ourselves. Again, but on God. What power does God have? He raised the dead. So he can kind of pull anything off. Okay, when our self-reliance fails, God's sufficiency is revealed. So it's almost like, wow, in this impossible situation, it is a neat place to be. Because the only thing that can happen to make it work is the power of God to work. You know, okay, God, I'm going to look to you and I'm going to watch you do what you want to do because you got this. That's what he's telling us. That's what he's telling. But it comes, we don't like how it comes. You know, because we've got to the end of our rope that he calls us brokenhearted and crushed. I mean, that's the end of, that's when you go, I can't do anything. I can't do one thing. I can't do one thing. So we learn, God teaches us. You ever think like, oh, God, teach me, God, show me. Well, we learn to depend on God by persevering, looking to him in impossible situations. And this is the sacrifice God desires from us, a heart that relies on God. That's a sacrifice. I want this sacrifice. What? Don't rely on everything else. Rely on me. It's a sacrifice from us, heart that only relies on God. Look at Psalm 51:17. And by the way, this is helping. When you're in a black hole, this helps you come out of the black hole. Psalm 51:17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. You know, I mean, it's a city, just broken spirit and broken heart. And, you know, it's like he comes near to you and he goes, but the sacrifices are a broken spirit. You know what a broken spirit is? Well, it goes on, a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart, a broken and crushed heart. And it says, oh God, you will not despise. Let's just think about it. That's just what we just said up to now, okay? I want to give you something, God. He goes, this, I tell you what you give me. Give me a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. I won't despise that. What's the second thing you would like? You know, I mean, but what is that? What did we just say? It's a heart, a broken heart that depends on no other situation but only God. You depend on God. All the world else you don't depend on has failed you, and you totally depend on God. He says, I won't despise that. I'll take care of you. Now, where do we try to find our self-sufficiency? I mean, come on, be honest. I'll be the first. I think everything around me, it makes me sufficient. You know, like here, you know, it's like electricity goes off. Oh, my God, you know, what are we going to do? You know, it's like, anything that happens, you know, it's like, I got to get something to help me. I got to, you know, we're working the world, you know, and if the world's working the way I want it to, I'm sufficient. I'm sufficient. But when it works the way I don't expect it or I don't want it to or disappoint, I am not sufficient. See? And God says, I just wanted to tell you, you weren't sufficient in the first place. You just thought you were sufficient. So I remove all that stuff and you'll see I'm not sufficient. This, I need you, God's sufficiency. He said, now I can give you all this other stuff because you don't depend on it. You depend on me. See, it's not the stuff. It's our heart. And so what he says, the sacrifices of God, it's your heart. I mean, that's what it's saying. It's your heart. A broken heart can only be mended by God. God, my heart, you're the only one who can take care of my heart. That means also nobody else can break it. See what I'm saying? I mean, this is a big time love relationship, big time dependence relationship that God's talking about. And that's what he talks about all through Scripture, is the relationship. But we think, oh, that's a good relationship. You know, I have, you know, a relationship here. And like, yeah, that's good. Side, you know, just kind of casual, and I'll praise God, and, you know, something will go right, and, you know, I'll witness to my neighbor, and just, God goes, no, that's not it. I want your whole heart. Nothing else. Nothing. But, you know, so-and-so can help me here, and then I can help him. He, no, you know, you, I want your heart. All of it. All of it. See? Now, we can ask, why do things go wrong? Now, things go wrong because people are bad. Things go wrong because Satan attacks us. But our reaction to them reveals where our heart is. And God knows it. And a real key to him moving in to do what he has to do is how quickly we recognize what's going on. Okay, God, you got this. I'm going to stand strong with you. I'm going to watch you work now. There's peace and there's a strength. Then God moves into circumstances and we give him the credit. Y'all with me? And that's what he's telling. So bad stuff happens, but he's going, ain't that bad. I got it. He's like, oh, I know it. You don't like it. I know it's hurtful, but that's the way the world is. But on your behalf, I've got this. And the way you can have peace and strength is if you focus on me, truly focus on me. How many of you have thought, I trust that God in everything. And something happens, oh God, I'm going to die. Maybe in the, you know, within the 30-second period, I got this. Oh, God, you know, you just don't believe it. I mean, you just say, you just really don't. Just kind of in this one area, but it's like, oh, I didn't know it was this big. So he's just, no, I'm just telling you, you have to keep looking to me, transforming to put me who I am and see who I am. Amen? See, so this is what all this is saying, and this is what Paul is telling us. So it's kind of interesting when we look at it. Now, God will not despise a broken heart that abandons all earthly hope and depends only on God. Now, we look at this. Well, that doesn't sound like fun. Just abandon all hope on the world and depend on God. Well, I'll tell you something. It's going to be no fun whatsoever depending on the world. It's not. I mean, he's telling you, it's not. You know, you think you got a good shot at making this work? Not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And I mean, that's irrelevant of that's not including God. I mean, if God was just moving out of the picture, it's not going to work. See? So he's telling us, I know this is not going to work. I'm trying to give you a heads up to focus on me. So when all this stuff falls apart, you're standing strong. See? He's telling us. He's giving us a good insight here. Now, so God pays close attention to the man or woman who has turned from worldly and human dependence and who turns to God in total dependence. And the big word there is total. You know, total. God, I trust you in anything until the next thing happened. You know, it's like, oh, God, but I wasn't planning on that one. That's more than I signed up for, you know. Anyway, we have this vision, this picture that God, and the point is, God is with us and he's working with us. He hasn't departed from us. We just feel like he has. He said, no, I got this. I just need you to trust me and stand strong, you know. And some of these things can be really painful. Then what he does here, God draws a contrast between him in heaven and him with us. And the way he does it is fascinating. All right. It's just really fascinating that God is with us in tough times. All right. Look, if you will, Isaiah 57:15. Now, again, we're trying to picture God working in our situation. He's not just in heaven gone. Okay. You know, this is the point. Okay. So it says in Isaiah 57:15. For thus says the one who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I mean, okay, that's some credentials right there. Okay, this is what God's saying about himself. All right. For thus says the one who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place. Everybody said, how many say amen on God? I mean, we got him there. But where we don't have him, the next part is where we don't have him, and he says he is. So I dwell in the high and holy place, and also with him who is of a crushed and lowly spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly, to revive the heart of the crushed. He said, I'm there also. Now, we're good with him on his throne. You know, we're good. We can tell folks, he's on his throne. He's good. But you know, the ones on his throne, he's with us also. What's the criteria for him revealing himself broken and crushed and lowly. That's where I dwell to revive. It's like, whoa. See, now the Apostle Paul, okay, he knew Isaiah. Okay, he knew. He said this. Oh, man, to the point I wanted to die. He knew this verse. So he's telling us this whole thing because he knows it. No, I know God. I know God. He's in the high and holy place. But I know he also dwells with the contrite, the crushed, to revive the spirit of the lowly. So Paul hangs on. Because I know God's there. Because he knew Isaiah 57. 800, wrote it 800 years before the time of Paul. But he knew the Old Testament. So he's telling it. But do you see the picture for us when we're going through that miserable time? It's hopeless. You know, if my husband would just suck it up and get on, we could fix this. God goes, nah, ain't gonna happen. You know? Or if my wife, I mean, she shape up, you know, you can make this, ain't gonna happen. It's just not, I mean, pretty mad, you're gonna be really mad at each other. You know, I mean, I'm telling you, you probably come visit me. Wallace can fix this. I'll just tell you up front, can't, you know, but I hope I can get you talking before you leave. But you can't, I can't fix it. You see, but so we see this, what he's trying to tell us, we see that, no, God is with you in that situation, and you've got to refocus. Okay, God, something's happening, and we've got to focus and stand still with you, giving you the credit and trusting you to take one step at a time, and you're going to take care of this mess. I'm not alone. That's what he's saying. The God that's in heaven is the God that's with you. And we have easier time seeing him in heaven than seeing him with us. See, in our head. But it's like, no, I'm with you. That's what this verse says. That's what it says. Also with him who is crushed. Who's crushed. And it ties right into 2 Corinthians, all right? And why? To revive the heart. When he revives, okay, God did it this time. Therefore, I'll trust him next time. Amen? All right, well, it goes on. So God dwells in a high and holy place. He also dwells with those who depend on him totally. Now I'm going to put that instead of crushed in heart. A crushed in heart is one who depends on him totally. Sometimes our heart just needs to get crushed to get there, you know, so we'll release everything else. But now look at this. Here's another one. Love this one. And again, he gives us an idea of how to function through these impossible times that are coming. Okay? I'm not calling on impossible times for you. They're just coming and giving you a heads up what to do when they get here, you know? So, Isaiah 66, verses 1 through 2. Isaiah 66, 1 through 2. I'll read the first verse. Thus saith the Lord, heaven is my throne. I mean, he's kind of hung up on being in heaven, on his throne, God is. Okay? He said, I'm on the throne. I just remind you, I'm on the throne. That's what he said, Isaiah 57. Thus saith the Lord, heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. You know, I just kind of think, nah, heaven's got more going on than earth. You know, it's just my footstool. Heaven, the earth is my footstool. And what is the house that you would build for me? And what is the place of my rest? Now, what's important about this, the Jews are saying, we're going to build you a temple. He says, have at it. You know, go ahead, but that, I'm not going to live there. Because I'm in heaven. That's my throne. You go ahead and build your house, but I'm not going to show it. It's your house that you're building, the temple. I mean, that's kind of what he's, my sarcasm, but that's kind of what he says. Then he says, God says about all of this, the heavens and the earth. Verse 2 says, all these things my hand has made. Isn't it funny? You're going to build me a house. All this stuff my hands have made. And so all these things came to be, declares the Lord. He says, I made it all. I made it all. See? Just who he is. Then he says this, but, contrast. He's throwing something totally different. Now he's coming down to earth with us. Now this is what I want you to see. I've established I'm in heaven. Now I want you to see this. But this is the one whom I will look. Now this one, God's paying attention. This guy and gal. But this is the one to whom I will look. He or she who is humble and of a crushed spirit and trembles at my word. There it is. What's a crushed spirit? I depend on nothing. God. That's what it is. That's it. Okay? And when the word is read, you look at the word and you tremble. Oh my God, this is truth. This is truth. He says, that's the one I'm looking at. He depends on me and he trembles at my word. That's who I'm seeing. That's who I'm focusing on. But God, everything's going to hell in the handbasket. I know. But that when I move in, you trust me and tremble at my word. And he says, I got this. I got this. And the only thing we know that he's got this is what he said. He told us. But God, why didn't you tell? I told you. You know, obviously, I do this all the time. God, why don't you show me? You know, and I have that echo. I have. You know, it's like, well, how about one more time? You know, I've shown you like a dozen times. You're not paying attention. I have. See? And if you tremble at my word, see, well, that's what God said, like what we just read. God, this has happened to me. What are you doing? He goes, I just told you in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I just told you. And I'm doing something in the whole world. Whole world right here. Now, so when he triples his word, these are, again, God is attentive to those who are living in situations beyond their strength. See, we think, I want to love God and walk through it. Nothing will go wrong. And then he's in heaven. He's with me. And we'll just truck along. And he praised Jesus for those moments. But he said, no, I'm telling you this. When it is going south quick, when things are going wrong, that's when you need to know this. This is the truth. It's when the situations are beyond your strength. That's when you got to know God's hearing this. He's got this. And so, and you tremble at his word because this is what God says. I'm standing strong. I don't care what the world says. I'm standing strong in what God says. I'm going to stay right here. And we cry out to him. And here's how we cry out. The Psalms gives a great verse for just crying out to God. How to do this? We're in this impossible situation. Psalms 26:1 says this. Vindicate me, O Lord. To what? Vindicate what? I'm doing what you said to do. I'm trusting you. Vindicate, O Lord. Vindicate me, O Lord. For I have walked in my integrity, and I've trusted in the Lord without wavering. Now, don't read this and think, okay, God, so you're just saying, okay, I'm perfect, so you take care of me. God never said that to anybody. He is saying, you go, I've walked in my integrity. What's our integrity? God, I trust you. I mean, I made a big mistake. I trust you. That's our integrity. You know, that's what holds our integrity, is I trust you no matter what. I'm staying with you. And said, I've trusted you without wavering. What's that? That's a sacrifice of God. That's a crushed spirit. There's no one but God. I trusted you without wavering. So it's just, okay, God, you do it. No one can. It's just you. It's just you. And that's what he said. And vindicate me. Who vindicates? God vindicates us. You know, you want somebody else to vindicate you. You know, explain the situation so they'll change their mind and vindicate you. No, God vindicates you. People don't vindicate you. God vindicates. He may vindicate you through people, but it has nothing to do with you. It's something that God does. So, we cast that for a Christian help. True Christian help only comes from God. Only comes from God. We never vindicate ourselves. God vindicates us. God has delivered us from the past, and he will continue to deliver us in the future. Now, I think all of us here sometimes in the past, we think, you know, God came through. You know, he came through in the past. Like, well, he'll do it again. he'll show you little things, and you know, he did that. Okay, he can do it in this also. See, he'll come through, and he shows us he'll come through. When I came to know the Lord, and it stuck with me, it's part of my testimony, as a non-believer, and I cried out to God, and he came through. And I can't ever get away from that. I can't ever walk away because he came through that one time. And what I said, and I found this, I didn't have a house, didn't have a home, had a wife, a baby. You know, I mean, it was like destitute, literally in the desert. I couldn't believe what was happening. I couldn't believe in my human experience, not knowing the Lord, how I could have gotten such a jam. I couldn't believe it. And I remember I fell down in the dirt, a sand. It was sand. It was literally sand in the desert up above Palm Springs, if you want to know the location. Hot. And I went like this. I said, God, God. Now, I was not a believer. Why did I say God? What had failed me? I have nothing. Anyone nobody else talked to? You know, I mean, and nothing. It's like, take a shot at God, you know. God, I said, and it was a real holy prayer. I said, God, this is not fair. Anyway, that's what I said. I said, God, this is not fair. This is not fair. You have to get me out of this. You have to get me out of this. Now, that was my prayer. Now, what happened, long story short, I got out of it really quick. Really, really quick. And it was so quick, like 24 hours. I mean, whole thing. I mean, you got a job, you got a house, you got a car. And it's like, I mean, it's like, and we're, as that first night was in our apartment, I looked up at the ceiling, and I'm going, how did I get here? I mean, I just went from destitute to here. How did I do that? And I was thinking there, I thought, only thing I did different in my life was I said, God, help me. And he did. And if he did, I want to know who he is. That was my start, who he is. But that never left me. So now, no matter what happens, I go back to that. No, I know I'm not going under. Because it wasn't as bad as it was then. He helped then. He'll help again. See, it goes back. So he does that. We all have that time. So you hang on those times. He wants you to. I love when Jeremiah, I was talking about Jeremiah. And when God talks to Jeremiah, he says, listen, Jeremiah, I'm going to tell you something. And before he does, tells Jeremiah what to do, and he does it several times in the book of Jeremiah, he goes through Jeremiah and tells all the things he did for him. Jeremiah did this and this and this and this. Now I want you to do this. And Jeremiah's like, oh, shucks. He did do all that, and I got to hang on when he does this. Well, see, that's what he does for us. So we build on those, we hang on to those things, and he will continue to help us in the most impossible situations, okay, when everyone fails us. Now, you get to a point, and I know a few people that have done that, I'm not there yet, but they'll get to those impossible situations, and they just immediately go there. It's just immediately. You know, because they've learned in the past. See? And that's what God, okay, you got it. You got it. Now I'm going to move and I'm going to do something. Because God is moving in this world and he is in control. He is in control. And so we praise him. See, that's what it says in 2 Corinthians 1:10. And this is Paul. He's still talking. He says, man, I just was appointed to death. He said, 2 Corinthians 1:10, God delivered us from such a deadly peril. He delivered us. And he will continue to deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. Done it once, I'll do it again. See, done it once. But you go, this God, this is impossible. See, I know, I just earth my footstool. Don't, I got this. Turn to me, just right now, turn to me. I got this, you know. Now again, he's talking about crushed spirits, broken heart. We're talking bad stuff. Okay, and the world's full of bad stuff. God is just telling us that we have a focus on him, and he'll take care of us through the bad stuff. But we've got to hang on to him. So God's deliverance, grace, and love, and faithfulness are inexhaustible. Now you hear people say, I just pray, I don't want to ask God something. I don't want to ask him much more. I just want to ask him a couple of things so he'll fulfill those and don't want to burden him. No, God's power is inexhaustible. You can't. He never runs out. He never gets tired of helping you. He never fails us. Look at Lamentations 3:22, 23. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Every morning we get up to it's new. Tapping into God's inexhaustible power, we have confidence to pray for ourselves and others. And I think this is fascinating with the Apostle Paul. Again, we know who the Apostle Paul is. You know, I mean, like, he's like big guy on the block of the Christianity, the Apostle Paul. But he asks these people, yeah, I really need you guys, pray for me. 2 Corinthians 1:11. You also must help us, Paul, him and his buddies there. You must also help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. Now, I know that little short verse, and read what it says, it's like Apostle Paul and who he is, it's like, okay, he is the one spouting out scripture, the relationship with the God, and he's moving, I need you to pray for me. I need you to pray for me. And then people will give glory because of what I achieved, because you have prayed for me. Now, that isn't an encouragement for us to pray for one another and pray for her within the church and go before God, and that we really to have a time together, say, I need you all to pray for me. I need you all to come alongside. Because if the Apostle Paul needed it in this, I probably need it. You probably need it. But there's power. You hear there's power in prayer. Paul thought there was power in prayer. And everything he understood, I need you to pray for me to get through this darkness and to achieve what God wants for me. You need to pray for me. Now, probably too, and this is something interesting, Paul probably led all these people to the Lord. They're pagans, and he led them to the Lord. So these are people, but you pray for me. As soon as they had that relationship with the Lord, all of a sudden the tables are turned. It's like, no, you have the resource and stuff. Go before God and pray for me. So in these difficult times, we should be people pray for us in the situation we are in. We should. Have you ever thought, I just can't tell them that. I'll just keep it to myself. Well, you're just cutting off the resource where God said, no, you've got God's people. Get together God's people. Get together people you trust and let them pray for you. So I hear the prayers of my people. Paul needed prayer, so we definitely need prayer. Okay, here we are. Wrap things up. Lesson. This is what? In our difficulties, when it's beyond our strength, we have to learn to rely on God and God alone. And listen. It just sounds so negative. People disappoint you. I'm just telling you, it's like that's just the way it is. That's what's going to happen, Those close to you, in fact, they disappoint you, okay, like that. Now, don't get too heady about this because you disappoint them, okay? But what God is saying that when we have things in a balance, we're trusting in Him, that our strength comes from Him, and we can even grow and persevere through that thing and be a blessing to others even when they disappoint us, Hopefully, the reverse also happens, okay? And so we have a confidence in God and His promise to answer our prayers. We see physical circumstances in the light of the eternal God who loves us and guides us through every aspect of life. We are His chosen people. He calls us the apple of His eye. And that's what we've got to remember when things aren't going good. We're the apple of His eyes. He's teaching us. We can walk, but we can learn something if we can keep our eyes focused on Him. So, life is full of things beyond our strength. God wants us to learn to rely on Him alone. Through Jesus, God always delivers us. He never rejects us. He just doesn't. He doesn't. We may feel rejected. He doesn't reject us. And here's a verse should be real encouraging of how much God loves us now, because we have called upon Him as our Savior, okay? And this tells you about how much God loves us. Look at Romans 5:8. God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. you got to be kidding me. When I was in that desert and said, God, this is not fair. It's like, well, I'm still a sinner. God said, okay, died for you. Okay, try to get you where you need to be. But that love came then. Still a sinner. Still a sinner. Cried out. All right, that love came then while we were a sinner. She said, I'll love somebody if they behave. You're nice to me, I'll be nice to you. guy goes, no, that's not the way I work. I was nice to you first. I was nice to you first, always. So, hallelujah. So, we're going to face the stuff. And it comes up. I mean, the whole thing in our world falls apart. We hit a brick wall. We say, okay, God's a-coming. He's got this. He's got this. That is evidence that God is moving, and He's got this when impossible things occur. You see that? Well, if it's impossible, that means that God said, no, I got this. All you got to do is you got to stand there and wait for me. It's evidence that God's moving. Based on what this says. Based on what this says. That's a positive. See, I mean, we were just happy going along and, you know, won the lottery and Jesus loves us. Maybe not. I don't know. I guess God's into that, you know, too. He's into everything. But when you hit that brick wall and everything falls apart and you don't think you're going to survive, He's not there. I got this. I got this. You're the apple of my eye. I got this. We know He's there. If you win the lottery, you share with me and I'll tell you God's there. We're going to do it. You know, we split it. I don't know if it was or not. But if you hit a brick wall, He's there. The only thing we have to do is say, God, You alone. You alone. And I'm standing here and I'm just continue to move forward and then you'll see Him take care of it. He said, I got this. That's what all this is saying. He dwells in a high and lofty place. And with Him who has a broken heart. Both places. We know that. I'm sure He's lots of other places, but we know that for sure. We know that for sure. So hallelujah. Amen. Well, I want to let's take a moment of silence and wrap things up. And I just want you to pray and just in your own mind, just think of that obstacle that's in front of you, no matter how big, you know, how small, you know, just think of that obstacle, that brick wall, or maybe somebody else's brick wall, and just know that God's there. Just think about that and just say, no, just picture with that difficulty, you say, no, you just picture God there. He is there and He's going to work the impossible. He's going to work the impossible. And have our eyes set on Him as He works the impossible. It's all about God. It's not circumstances. It's that God is there. You know, God is there. See, to know God is over everything, you have to have to see something impossible to know God's there or somebody else could do it. Right? You say, man, the only one who solved this is Wallace. Now, I know you never had that thought. But then there would never be a really belief it's impossible that God could do it. In that silly scenario, I'd have to be removed out of the equation before you know it. The only thing that can solve this is God. And that's true about everything. It has to be impossible that we look to Him and know that He can do something. He is doing something. He is doing something, and that's your confidence. How do we know? He just said it. We tremble at His word. He just said it. Okay, just think. Just give you some time. Just bring those things to mind, just to take a minute or two. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful to you. And Lord, we do live in a lost world, and Lord, that is doesn't know you, has rejected you, but you have called out your church. You have called us to be lights to you, to stand and with our eyes focused on you, that you take care of the world. You take care of those things around us. You just call us to be faithful to you and to look to you and trust in you and say, God, we know that your love never ceases. We know your mercies never come to an end. We know they're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. We know that, God. And in the difficult times in humanness, it really is hard. It's hard that it comes at us and we didn't expect. But God, you're moving and you want us to focus on you. And each one of us focus on you. We all draw closer together. And so we just look to you and trust in you, God, that you love us more than we could ever imagine. And the verse said, you loved us when we were yet sinners. Now there's no way we can be separated from you, as it says in Romans 8. It's impossible to be separated from God. You never leave us. You never forsake us. And we thank you for that, God. And Lord, I pray each prayer that is lifted up about obstacle, a brick wall, just an impossibility, that each person would focus upon you, trust you, and then, God, have our eyes wide open to see you move in that situation and give you thanks as you start moving as you see fit. You call us to be faithful and to focus on you and let you take care of the situations. And so work in us to learn how to do that, to draw closer to you and grow in your strength every day. So we thank you. You're a good God and you're doing a mighty work, and you're working in the world, you're working in our families, you're working in us, and that, God, you have given up everything as your Son has died on the cross for the glory he saw in eternity, the salvation of many. So we give thanks to you in his name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Stand up. You can stand up, and we got some refreshments in back, and then we'll wrap up with that. God bless you.